For opera fans, it's a seasonal locavore joy to equal the appearance of a crop of seps amongst the sodden leaves. This week, the 63rd annual Wexford Festival Opera begins with its regular banquet, including everything from its sampler-sized short works season to full-blown productions, including this year the European premiere of a relatively new American opera, Silent Night. The programme is overseen once more this year by artistic director David Agler. Raymond Blake went to meet the man in his office in the bustling opera house at Wexford.
I grew up in the Midwest of America, in the state of South Bend. I was Indiana. I was born in South Bend, Indiana, which is the home of Notre Dame University. So for the Irish, you would know that our football team is called the Fighting Irish. My dad was not a professional musician, but he was a very talented jazz sax and clarinet player. My entire family is very musical. I'm the only professional musician, but I am probably the least talented of all of my siblings. My mother, however, was a true tone-deaf person, which I think is one in a million or one in 5 million people. She could not match a pitch. I was fascinated with the organ in church on Sunday mornings, and I always wanted to be an organist, but I was told in order to reach the organ, I had to become a pianist. So the piano was my first interest, my first instrument. Then the organ, I also played the cello, and I played the oboe a bit. In college, I conducted the college Gilbert and Sullivan Society, but it was just kind of a lark. But I was with the Westminster Choir in the Spoleto Festival, which was Giancarlo Menotti's festival in Italy. And Giancarlo got into a fight with the conductor of his new opera, which was being performed that year in Spoleto. And Giancarlo came to me and said, David, you have to conduct my opera. And so 3 days later, I did so. And that's literally how I began to conduct in the opera house. All of us have come to conducting from different down different paths. If you're going to be a pianist, you're going to be a pianist. But most of us, I would say, were instrumentalists. It's important for a conductor to have mastered at least one instrument. I happen to think, being a pianist, it's been very, very useful for me because it's helped me learn scores at the piano. The only way you can learn to conduct is to conduct, which is why it's very difficult to make your way in this business, because how you can hardly hire an orchestra to conduct an audition for yourself. So it's really about, for young people, creating opportunities to have people come and see you. I was very, very fortunate. I had a whole bunch of lucky breaks, and I am very, very grateful to those people who helped me along the way. The teaching of conducting, all you can do with a young conductor is to observe, make some suggestions, but you really can't teach it. The only thing you can be scientific about is teaching score studies, score reading, harmony. They just need to know the basics of being a fine musician. In the concert hall, your job is to lay out your view of a piece, and your job is to collaboratively with the orchestra realize your conception of Beethoven 5, for instance. Musicians know Beethoven 5 so well, they don't need to be taught it. They need to know, how are we going to do it with you? In the opera house, it's quite a different sport. It's a much more of a collaboration. I have so many people that I depend on when I conduct an opera. There could be the chorus master backstage. There could be a backstage orchestra. And somebody else is conducting that. And we use monitors. And in modern times, we use television cameras. Opera is certainly my principal profession, part of my musical profession. But I like all music. Every single kind of music, and I have friends who think I'm weird because I like country and western music. It doesn't matter whether it's in the opera house or in the church or a political rally. Human beings sing. In the early 1600s, there was this group of men in Italy that wanted a new kind of theatrical experience. And so they set about to set words in a new and unique way. And that is the basis of opera. It was very, very different than the music that came before it at the end of the Renaissance period. It was just that simple. It was a way to convey words using music. That's all it was. As time went by, the music of those period was very simple. The melodies were very simple. It was all about setting the words. But as time went on, opera became more elaborate. The singer became most important. The singer became more important than the words. And then we get these great, wonderful melodies. And then it became about the singer itself, who was more brilliant, who could sing higher, lower, faster. But it is always, in the end, about the combination of music and words. There's a phrase, prima parola o la musica. What comes first, the word or the music? Pierre Boulez, the great French composer, conductor, prophesied, and I believe it was in the 1960s, that opera was dead and the opera houses would be closing before long. Well, this is now 50 years later, and opera is still thriving. What we do here at Wexford is we present operas which were once very effective and popular and theoretically no longer speak to modern audiences. My job down here is to say, is that really true? Come listen to this.
Wexford Festival Opera's David Agler there talking to Raymond Blake, and you can hear the second part of their conversation next time on Culture File.